If you're hearing this, it means tickets are now on sale for our streaming Cybactacular.
That's what we're calling the streaming show of our Star Trek V review that we toured last year. We filmed our Hollywood show, and it's going to be streaming on Thursday, May 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And the stream will be available for a couple of weeks after that. If you can't watch right at the premiere time. A couple of pieces of information about this. If you support us at MaximumFun.org/join and your membership is current, check your email inbox because Maximum Fun will have emailed you a promo code to get $5 off your ticket. And also, we have some VIP packages available that include a meet and greet with me and Adam. Those are going fast, so jump on that if you want a meet and greet VIP package. Again, it's greatestgentour.com to get your tickets for the streaming Cybactacular.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet.
Engage.
Welcome to The Greatest Generation, a Star Trek podcast by two guys who are embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. I'm Ben Harrison.
I'm Adam Pranica. Ben, why do we do this?
I don't know. We just keep doing it over and over again.
We're obligated, both contractually and morally, to keep going.
Do you think our show would be more popular or less popular if we went to one episode a week?
Wow. I don't know. I think it would be equally popular and potentially less popular due to the outrage that would cause.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's definitely some people that wish we would do three a week. They're like, why not Monday, Wednesday, Friday?
I don't know if those people are our friends for suggesting that. I would love to produce this show 5 days a week. Like, it's not a matter of will.
Yeah, it's a major time commitment.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that because I was thinking about it. I don't think I have many podcasts in my feed that go as often as we do.
Yeah.
And I was like listening to our fellow Max Fun podcast, The Flop House, and they're like twice a month, I think.
Yeah. Boy, I was like, what a life.
Ooh. Yeah.
I know for me, when we first started out, I was like, I wanted to build up a bunch of episodes that were produced so that once people eventually found our show, they would see that we were legit and had a nice well to pick from. Like, my only intention was to like just build up a quantity that would somehow equal credibility. But now that we are unfortunately like more credible than we had ever hoped for, now we're still saddled to that effort. And that rate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who knows? Who knows what the right thing is? But I feel like we're pot committed at this point.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know that we can do anything about it, Ben.
Yeah.
Even if we wanted to.
Yeah. You're probably right. This is episode 16 of season 3, The Offspring.
Sure is, Ben.
Not those offspring, Adam.
I was not really looking forward to this episode based on what I remembered, but I was pleasantly surprised.
Really?
Yeah.
I found myself getting distracted by my cell phone.
Oh, no. Well, this episode opens interestingly, and we should also note that this is the... This is the directorial debut of Jonathan Frakes.
Yes.
The first time a cast member took the reins of a show.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That sounds like a fact that you may have actually read somewhere.
Sure. It is, but I found myself kind of digging Frakes' directorial style. They write the Riker character out of the episode right away, like in the log.
While Commander Riker is away on personal leave,
Picard comes on the log recorder and he's like, hey, we're just, I don't even know what he says. He's like, hey, we're just cruising around and Riker's out on shore leave. Now that that's out of the way, let's get into the plot.
Yeah, I think that's actually verbatim. I think that's exactly right. What he says. Yeah. So, Wes,
the boy,
Troy and Geordi have been hauled down to Data's lab, and they're like, what does Data want to show us?
Do you have any idea what this is about? Something happened at that cybernetics conference. Since he's come back, he spent every off-duty minute in that lab.
Another conference trip. Do you think that the crew members keep their conference badges, like, hanging on the back of their closet doors?
I bet. No one devastates an open bar the way Data would. One of those Howard Johnsons. Jeez.
Yeah, he's just got rolled up singles.
Yeah. Yeah, you think his abilities and techniques are appreciated in a hotel conference environment? I bet they are.
Yeah, man. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Data would be a hoot at a hotel conference.
Yeah.
Well, they get there, and once again, the doors don't lock on the Enterprise, so Wesley, like, punches the button and opens the door, and Data goes like, I'm in here, and punches it again, and it closes.
Yeah, but not before they see him holding a severed foot. That's kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah. And so it cuts to the inside of the lab where Data is, like, mushing this foot. Like, there's some like, electronic and mechanical crap hanging out the end of it. And he, like, slides it up inside of the stump of a leg and starts, like, booping on buttons and the leg comes alive and the toes twitch and he hits a button and the whole assembly goes up into the ceiling and he lets everybody in and he's very excited to introduce them to a super weird looking android that he made named Lol.
Mr. Data, as a man who respects the creation of real dolls everywhere, I must tell you, your doll frightens me.
It lacks many of the sexually appealing features that I think you should consider. For example, most inflatable dolls have large open mouths, and there are obvious reasons for this. Your doll has a very small, closed mouth.
I thought right away, oh great, Data's made a real doll, and it is terrifying.
Yeah.
The reaction that Troy, Geordi, and Wesley have. They are just sort of bemused, aren't they?
Yeah, there's a lot of, I think when you are pals with Data, there's a lot of just letting him do his thing and not fucking with him too much about it. So Data introduces Lol to Troy, and she's like, very pleased to meet you, Lol. You know, she's going to give him the benefit of the doubt for a long time.
Yeah, and Lol is kind of terrifying. We should probably try to describe it at this point. It's sort of glossy.
Yeah, it's got like the orange version of Data's yellowy, greeny skin.
Yeah. It's shorter than Data by like a head.
Yeah.
And its face sort of looks like, it's really angular. Like it's sort of like it's wearing a flesh-colored helmet.
It's like that guy that hangs out with Pizza the Hut in Spaceballs, but fleshier.
Hello, Lone Star.
Sorry, wrong switch.
Yeah, and it sort of speaks in a stilted... I mean, it doesn't sound like a robot, but I don't know. It sounds a little bit childish and strange. It's like, the whole image is just...
It's arrhythmic. It's not robo. It's like the every word kind of comes out as almost like the beginning of its own sentence.
Yeah, and Data introduces Lal as his progeny, like he has assumed the role of a parent to this individual. The gang is like, wait until the captain hears about this.
Yeah. And Picard is not psyched about this. Picard pretty much goes full Maddox at the beginning. He's like, kill it now. Like, you didn't have my permission to do this.
This isn't the first time that Data's sort of gone rogue on doing something and not telling the captain. Like, he was sending emails to that little girl last season, and Picard was super pissed about that.
She was kind of a sparkly orange color, too.
Yeah. Yeah, she might have inspired the look of Lal at this point. Yeah. But, man, Picard just goes off on him in the ready room. Yeah. And in a way that... You'd never see him do that to a human crewman. Do you think that he feels free to become enraged with Data because he knows Data can take it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely the most angry at a crew person we have ever seen Picard at this point. And
what's his beef?
Well, his beef is that Data went and made this thing without clearing it ahead of time, and Data's logic is like, hey, listen, like, when Riker sows his oats all over the ship, nobody's demanding that he file a form in advance of that.
Yeah.
Like, I reproduced, you know? I don't need your permission, dog.
Yeah.
And Picard is like, yeah, but when you reproduce, it's going to be a baby that can, like, rip holes in the hull because it's going to be super strong and super fast, you know?
Yeah, that, which is a constant problem with anything data-related. So begrudgingly, Picard is like, well, you know, you did this thing. I guess this is a good opportunity to study the idea of creating a sentient robot and sort of onboarding it to living on board a starship. And the first order of business is making it look less terrifying, right?
Yeah, well, but before we get to that, the other side of Data's argument, which I think is interesting, is that
until now, I have been the last of my kind. If I were to be damaged or destroyed, I would be lost forever.
Which sort of maybe hints that his penchant for suicidal behavior may be coming to an end.
He can see the advantages of backing up his hard drive.
Yeah, for maybe he's gotten out of the reckless heyday of his 20s, and now he's like 30, he's like starting to have a more chill lifestyle.
Or maybe this frees him up even more. Like, if he has a backup around, maybe he's even more death happy.
Well, I guess we'll find out in the coming episodes.
Right, that remains to be seen, doesn't it?
He just kept talking in one long, incredibly unbroken sentence, moving from topic to topic so that no one had the chance to interrupt. It was really quite hypnotic, hypnotic.
So we go down to the holodeck, and they've asked Data, like, why does Lal have kind of a strange nothing in between its legs?
Mr. Data, what exactly are you supposed to fuck on this particular model of doll?
None of the holes are big enough for anything. You could maybe slip a pinky into its mouth.
I find your doll utterly boring, Mr. Data.
It's the first time I've been tempted to do what I did to the Hooshnock to anybody. But you have shown so little respect for the world of real dolls.
Yeah. So they're on the holodeck, and it becomes clear that the next step for Lal is to select its appearance, because this is a choice that it gets to make for itself.
Yeah. It's like how I thought that I could name myself Wesley.
Right.
Ex post facto.
Whereas you were incredibly wrong about that.
Yeah. I wonder where I learned that idea, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was definitely watching this show when I came up with it.
I'm glad you chose Wesley instead of Lal as far as as someone to go around introducing yourself as at camp. Yeah. This is kind of a fun idea, right? Lal is a blank person, and
right.
Lal can choose what physical properties to possess. And so they've narrowed it down to four finalists.
And this is a very cool, like, motion control special effect where Lal is standing in front of sort of a holographic mirror, and the camera pans around the entire room as the subject is changing in front of the camera. Like, they're blending between four different shots. Lal as a Klingon, Lal as an Andorian, Lal as a... What were the options?
A human male and a plain-looking woman.
Right.
Human woman.
Right.
So she's definitely leaning human. Like, two of the four are human.
Yeah, and she winds up going with the female human. And so the rest of the episode is sort of split between two storylines. One is Data kind of teaching Lal how to get along with others and, like, what it's, you know, like, there's a scene in his room where he's, like, just pointing at objects and naming them.
Painting.
Painting. Colors produced on a surface by applying a pigment.
The rest of the episode feels like Android Splash.
Yeah.
You know, like, fish out of water story. She's learning how to eat and drink and be with people.
And then the other side is that the the word has gotten back to Starfleet Command about this new android, and they've gone fully ape, and there's like an admiral that's breathing down Picard's neck to ship the android back to the Daystrom Institute so that they can pull it apart and Maddox the shit out of it.
Yeah, and this admiral is totally Maddoxing, isn't he?
Yeah, he's it's kind of peculiar that they did not select the character of Maddox to play this role.
Sure. But it's another interaction between Picard and an admiral that goes less than good.
Yeah.
Like, and feels sort of adversarial from the jump.
Yeah. You sort of wonder how much leeway Picard has to just directly defy what an admiral is asking him to do. I mean, like, he's the captain of this flagship, but he does do a lot of, like, I'll take that under advisement, admiral, but fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he can let go the whole bug episode of conspiracy, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a going concern. Show me that neck, admiral. Then we can talk.
Yeah, you got any nubbins?
They show Lao's advancement through some scenes here, most of them occurring in 10 forward, and Guinan makes an interesting foil for Lao's growth as a human.
Right. Much like Data was a terrible person to put in charge of telling Q how to be human, Guinan is like the awesomest person to put in charge of telling Lel how to be human. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of fun stuff going on in 10 forward. There's people holding hands on a date. There's people making out in the corner.
Ben, I've long always been able to tell, like, when you go out with someone socially, you can tell the people who have worked in a service industry job by how they treat other people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is sort of another version of that, right? What better way to learn how to become a good human being than to work a service industry job? And that's what they stick Lao with. They make her a server in 10 forward.
Yeah, and it's like, man, it's like going to the show for your first day at the ball game. Like, she's there, like, you know, trying to mimic people. At some point, Riker's shuttle comes back. He, like, wanders into 10 forward, and she starts trying to, like, mimic the flirtatious behavior that she's been observing.
And
Riker,
like,
really does a great job of looking shocked and appalled when Data calls him on putting the moves to his daughter.
She uses her super strength and, like, rips him over the bar and makes out with him. It's sort of great.
You're new around here, aren't you?
Yes.
Lao! Put him down.
Riker was unable to grant consent in that exact moment.
Right. But, you know, she's learning.
Yeah. But this demonstrates a problem, right? She's mimicking human behavior without really being able to understand its context and when it's proper to demonstrate those behaviors and when it's not.
Yeah, and at a certain point, the Admiral Halftel gets so pissed off with Picard, he's like, just stop your ship where it is, I'm coming out there. Hops on his own starship, catches up with the Enterprise, and he comes aboard with the intention of grabbing this android and booking it back to Starfleet Science. And Picard is in full Voltron lawyer mode for the rest of the episode. You know, Halftel, like, steps into his ready room and he's like, Admiral Halftel, you're supposed to come here to form an opinion, not to back your own goddamn opinion up, Theo.
He's fucking great. He's like, hey, guess what? Like, there are laws about this, and I wrote them. So, so what do you think of that? Like, his dog gets super bigged by Picard in that scene. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, Picard's making good points. He's like, if we've established that Data has rights, then so too does Lal, and Data has, like, rights as her parent, and, like, there's nothing that you can do unilaterally here. And so Halftel, like,
like at some point he goes down and sees that she's working in 10 forward and gets really like freaked about that. He's like, this is not appropriate. This, you know, she's going to see people.
She should have a better job than this. She's better than this. Like, it's all uppity about like her being too good for a service job.
This is your idea of appropriate guidance?
Yeah.
Fuck you, Admiral.
Yeah. Your kids all get sweet internships that pay super well.
Yeah. Yeah.
The rest of us have to fucking work in restaurants. Fuck you.
So things finally get to a head when Haftel's like, check it out. I'm just going to make it an order. Like, get ready to send Lau to me. I'm taking her back home. Or I'm taking her to get scienced.
Right. It's going to be like an interview, but he's like going to break the news to her at the end. And so they sit her down, and it's a pretty rugged scene because like Data's not there. So Picard has to sort of be her advocate, but he doesn't want to like be openly defiant of the Admiral in a way that's going to get him in trouble.
Right.
So he winds up finding a good angle, which is like nobody has actually asked Lau what she would want in the event that two different options were placed in front of her.
Sure.
And Haftel is not persuaded when she says that she wants to stay. So he tells her that like what his plan is, and she fully loses it and like runs to Troy of all people, and she has like what can only be described as an emotional meltdown in front of Troy.
An admiral from Starfleet has come to take me away, Troy. I am scared.
You are scared, aren't you?
Which is, you know, Troy is like completely freaked out because she's not expecting Lal to be sending emotions her way.
Her expression of her feelings is to like place her hand over her sternum and to like hit it over and over again.
Yeah.
Which I found a really, like, that really hit close to home to me for some reason. Like, how do you physically express that you're scared or that you've had your feelings hurt? Like that seems to me is as good as any demonstration of that. Like, if you're unable to articulate it, like, that's how you do it.
I think this actress did a great job with a very, very challenging part. You know, like, she goes from being essentially a tabula rasa at the beginning to an emotional character with fears and hopes.
Yeah.
And at the end, and it's a pretty seamless transition. Like, she definitely, like, ratchets that up, like, scene by scene to the point where this is pretty plausible, pretty well done.
I thought a lot about this as I was watching the episode. It has got to be so much harder to act a little bit robotic than to act fully robotic. Like, she's super nuanced in her performance in a way that made me appreciate Brent Spiner's performance even more as well. Like, to just barely be off enough to where you can just sort of read artificial without being totally camp robot.
Yeah,
that was just like great.
Acting in the uncanny valley.
Yeah,
intentionally.
Totally. And that seems so difficult. Lau's trucked it back to her quarters. Like, she's so upset that she runs back there with Troy in tow, and Troy radios Data and says, hey, you better get back to your lab. Your daughter's really upset.
Yeah, and she's like had a meltdown. Like, it's fused her circuits where she's not really present anymore. She's just kind of like can respond to very basic inquiries. And
we're really lucky her meltdown didn't manifest in such a way that like she tears Troy's arms from her body.
Right, or like punches a hole in the window or something.
Yeah. Like, she's incredibly dangerous at this moment.
Yeah. They do some diagnostics and they find that there's like a cascade failure and there's a way that they could maybe reverse the damage, but it's like going to be some shit. And Haftel, to his credit, offers to help Data, and he graciously accepts that offer of help. And they like kick everybody out of the lab and go to work. And then like there's a scene where Wes, Geordi and Troy are like standing outside in the hallway, and Haftel comes out like the, you know, the surgeon that has lost a patient. He's like pulling off the rubber gloves and he's like, there's nothing we could do.
Personally, I hate it when any real doll dies. I feel like it's a loss for the entire universe.
When the rubber wears out, there's just no patching it up. You can send it back to the factory, but there's only so much they can do, and every time you do it, it adds seams around the groin area, for example, and it just becomes quite unsightly.
Those seams do not look natural, and they chafe. They're very uncomfortable.
This is terrible. I didn't feel like this scene worked for me in particular, because Haftel didn't earn any sympathy at all. He was an asshole the entire time, and so he pulls a 180 and turns into concerned surgeon. And
well, I don't think that the script was asking us to have any sympathy for him. I think it was like his redemption moment. Like, wow, like even though he was an asshole, like I guess he was coming from a place of like genuine concern. He was just wrong in his decisions surrounding that concern.
Yeah, I guess so.
Not to defend this episode or anything, but
oh, not to defend an indefensible episode. Yeah, and so Haftel's like, if you want to go say goodbye, I think these are the remaining moments. So they go in there and witness her final words to Data. You can tell that mentally she's kind of spooling down, and in a way, like, kind of working backwards through her intelligence. Like, she grows less and less sophisticated until finally she just stares into the middle distance, and that's it.
Yeah. And Data comes out onto the bridge and announces that Lal is no more, and Picard's like, hey, attaboy, like, that sucks, but we got your back. And Data's like, no, like, Lal's still here. I downloaded her into my own mind, so she's gonna be around.
Yeah, which, in a weird way, like the way that he describes it is like, all of her experiences are my experiences now. Like, I have all of it. Like,
right.
We're like two people living in me. Which also means that Data has kissed Riker. Which I thought was a fun thought.
That is a fun thought.
Yeah. So Data's made out with two bridge crewmen.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. And that's the end of the episode. I mean, the bridge crew rises and offers their condolences to Data, and Data's like, no, I appreciate that, but, you know, Lal lives on.
Yeah.
And that's our end.
That is our end.
What'd you think of this episode, Ben? It doesn't sound like you liked it.
I think there's a lot to like about it. It's just boring to me. Like,
yeah.
I feel like the central drama...
This is 20 minutes of story stretched into 40.
Yeah, and the central drama is just a retread of the Commander Maddox episode where they established Data's personhood.
Right.
You know, like, they didn't really add to that argument at all. And there is a small amount of interest in the idea of an android first becoming aware of its surroundings and learning how to plausibly interact with humans, but it's not interesting enough to build half the episode around it.
Yeah.
I think from a performance standpoint, I thought that like the acting in this episode is as good as it needed to be, if not a little bit better. And there's some fun Lawyer Picard, there's some fun stuff with the Admiral, like Data did great, the featured performer did great. I don't have her name here, but
that was Haley Todd as Lal.
Yeah. But that did not add up to an episode that I was like on the edge of my seat watching or even like thinking about a lot, you know?
Yeah. Data had never expressed an interest in reproduction until now. I mean, I guess outside of fucking Tasha Yar. like this really sort of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, how often have you ever gone to a business conference and actually came back inspired? That never happens.
That's a good point. I didn't think of it that way, but
that may be the most unrealistic part of this episode. I thought Frakes's direction was pretty deft for a first timer. Like,
yeah.
He did a lot of Steadicam, I noticed. He chose a lot of scene opening shots from different angles we hadn't seen before. He got to play with a set that we've never seen before, which was the Lau Lab.
Yeah, and the scene where the Admiral meets Data is in that lab, and it's really, really smart shooting, like really great directing the camera in that scene. Everybody is shot in a single that's kind of closed in on all sides by stuff in the foreground.
Yeah.
And it really like establishes a feeling of they're all kind of dead set in their point of view.
Yeah.
Which is a better, like a more artistic choice than you get in a lot of these episodes.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just didn't like, it didn't quite add up to a fun one for me.
He god shots a conference room scene as the establishing shot, was like really interesting. And I don't remember ever seeing a shot like this on the show. And I don't know if we ever return to a shot like that again, but it's neat to see rooms that you've seen a bunch of times from different angles like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He had to just be like in that set a million times and looking up at the catwalk and going like, why don't we ever just take a tripod up there?
Right. <You know? laughs> Yeah. Pretty cool. I hope that means we get more visuals like this down the road.
Yeah. Adam, why don't we check in with the subspace radio and see if we have any messages coming on over it.
I'm going to mess with the dials and see if we get anything.
Priority one message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Need a supplemental income.
Supplemental income?
Supplemental.
Supplemental.
Yeah, it's extra.
By the interest alone could be enough to buy this ship.
We only have one message on the Priority One subspace today, Adam, and it's a personal message. It's from Captain Josh, and it is to Clint, quote, JonBenet Ramsey Wiseman.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Is Clint missing? Missing and presumed dead?
She was like a little Miss Sunshine type, right?
Clint must be a very special girl.
A pageant girl?
Clint Pageant Queen Wiseman.
So here's the message. Thanks for all the dope porch hangs. While you do take me to Lead, South Dakota for weeks, leaving me in that shit condo while you seek dark matter in the science mines, I know it brings us closer to first contact. Next, could try Mango Tango and quit the boring Strawberry-licious? Also, my atomizer needs replacing. Your beloved vape pen, Captain Josh.
This is, to be clear, this is all entendre, right?
Yeah, I feel like a little bit like Picard in Darmok, you know? Like,
yeah.
I'm sure all of this means something, but it's metaphor.
Why are they drinking Mango Tangos and Strawberry-licious when Coco No-Nos are available?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Dark matter in the science minds. What do you think that means?
I get the sense that this is a very special relationship, and I'm glad that we have viewers that have close personal relationships, you know?
Yeah, me too. I'm glad they use all this jargon. Your beloved vape pen.
Yeah. The imagination really runs wild with the idea of somebody being a vape pen of somebody else.
Is Captain Josh the ferry boat captain that you're familiar with? Is this the same guy?
I think that's what the reference is, yeah.
Huh. I'm glad to have him as a viewer of our show. You think he's up there laughing as he drives you to work every day?
Yeah, looks back at me like, that guy thinks he's playing tower defense games on his phone, but really he's getting boated around by Captain Josh.
Wink, finger gun, giant cloud.
That's how he disappears?
Yeah. Poof.
Well, thank you so much for sending a message using our airwaves. If you'd like to send a message, fair viewer, you can go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. It's $100 for a personal message or $200 for a commercial message, and it helps keep the lights on around here. So thanks.
Darmok, Angelad, Tanagra.
When I was growing up, I didn't have anyone to tell me about personal grooming. I had to learn these things on my own. So I'm here to save you some embarrassment. Recommend the grooming tools that I use. The products from Manscaped. Now, this is a company that constantly has its mind on your bush. Imagine the meetings they have. Imagine the pictures they have and their PowerPoint presentations. Now imagine your junk looking its best thanks to the Lawnmower 5.0. This thing is the latest bond trimming technology with two interchangeable heads, a standard one for taking just a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants. Moms can't live with them, can't find a great gift for them. It's madness, and it's the same every year. Mother's Day comes around, and it's like, what's it going to be this year? Another robe? Another candle? Slippers? A sweater? Flowers? We've got to do better than that, right? Well, you can, and it's actually the best gift you could possibly give a loved one. An Aura frame. Now, we have a policy to only do ads on our show for things that we actually like and use, and I gotta tell you, the Aura frame is probably the best gift I've ever given. The folks I've given an Aura frame to love it, and I love it too, because when you give an Aura frame, you're not just giving a person a bunch of old pictures, you're giving them new pictures every time you send one to it. Right now, Aura has a great sale for Mother's Day. Viewers can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com, and the code is SCARVES at checkout to show your support for the show. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah, Adam.
Shimoda's. Do you have one?
Drunk Shimoda!
I'm going to put you on the spot this time, actually.
You're going to turn the Shimoda table on me?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to make you take the first isolinear chip out of the stack.
The purest expression of a drunk Shimoda in any episode is the individual having the most fun. I thought the tone of this episode was especially serious, except for the scene in 10 Forward when Lal kisses Riker.
Yes.
And just the look on his face of joy and panic and titillation, like that was really broad freaks right there. Like,
yeah.
Nonverbally communicating about 1,000 different emotions at that exact moment. I thought it was great. Like, and he's only on screen for like 30 seconds, but he contained multitudes in that moment. And so my vote is for Frakes' performance as Riker being sort of rape-kissed, I guess.
Adam, you said what I was going to say, but so much better than I could have ever said it.
I'm sorry. See, that's what you get for turning the Shimoda on me. I stole your Shimoda thunder.
I think that I would have given a light thunder in the distance, and you gave us a full-blown overhead thunderclap, and I really appreciated it.
Really Zeus'd that Shimoda this time.
Yeah.
Do we have a better episode coming up next time?
We do. Episode is season 3, episode 17, Sins of the Father. When his long-lost brother appears on the Enterprise, Worf is thrust into a life-or-death battle for his family's honor. Do you remember that episode, Adam?
I feel like this is the first of many episodes where Worf and Picard truck it back to the Klingon homeworld and do some lawyering, right?
Yeah.
And it's hard to distinguish this one from the many of those that follow. So I will just say that this is the beginning of a longer story arc that I do remember.
Nice. Well, I can't wait to watch it with you.
Yeah, me too. Let's forget about the Offspring. Much like we've forgotten about the band. Ben, viewers far and wide can support our show by going to MaximumFun.org/donate and making it something they contribute to either one time or every month. We also really appreciate people going and reviewing our podcast on whatever podcast aggregator that they use. There's a number of them out there. There's the iTunes. There's the Overcast. Those are the only two I know, actually, but I know there's more.
Yeah, there's a recommend button in Overcast, and I think it links to your Twitter account so that other people that follow you on Twitter will see our show in the recommend section.
Sure.
If they're looking for something new. You know, I was thinking it would be cool to see our show in the Onion AV Club at some point. I know that they write about podcasts, and I think that we're at the level to get mentioned there from time to time now.
So much of our press has been unsolicited, though. It just happens. And now you're conjuring something, aren't you, Ben? Wouldn't it be nice if we were on the AV Club?
I'm not saying anything, but if you like are out there and actually know like a way for that to happen, we'd love for that to happen. I have no idea how they pick those things or whatever. Don't like irritate the people that pick them.
I think it's
Twitter
just fun talking about our show with interested people.
Yeah.
Wherever they are.
That's true. Well,
we're also on the Twitter. Using the hashtag GreatestGen, you can talk to us about the show and all of our other viewers who participate on there. It's really lively. A bunch of people making funny pictures and funny references. We're on Facebook in a number of places. We've got a group and a page that you can follow and like. Yeah. We're on Reddit. The Maximum Fun Reddit is the official Reddit of the show. And we have an unofficial page at r/greatestgen that a couple of our listeners have put together, and they did a real fine job on it.
Yeah, did you see that there's a Kevin Uxbridge with an inflated doll on the banner of that now?
Yes, I did.
We should thank Dark Materia for our music and Adam Ragusea for our other music. And with that, we will be back at you next week with another great episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. In a super honorable episode of The Greatest Generation.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.